Okay. Today is March 17th, the 7th of Adar Bet, the week of Parshat Zachor. And we are very excitingly starting Perek Tet Zayin in Shmuel Aleph, where we are introduced for the very first time to David, who is not yet David HaMelech. Okay, so I have a lot of really interesting sources. A lot of what we're going to be doing is based on this book by Yehoshua Bachrach, Yafiot Malchut Uzmirot. And he's modern. He died like 10 or 15 years ago. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. And I was introduced to him by my cousin when I was at Hebrew in college, who gave me some of his books, and then I picked up some over the years whenever I would see them. And he was similar to Nechama Leibowitz in style, and he collected a lot of sources and gave over a picture of who some of the greatest people were. He has a book on Ruth, his book on Yonah. So Rav Yehoshua Bachrach. Okay, so here we go. Let's start. This is half of the perek of Tet Zayin. We're not going to get through even half of it, but we'll start. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, Ad matai ata mitabel al Shaul, el Shaul, ve'ani ma'astiv mimloch al Yisrael. So Hashem is now chastising Shmuel, and he's saying, how long will you mourn, M-O-U-R-N, for Shaul? And I was sick of him being the king. I rejected it, it says here, but again, I like the sick of it. Mimloch HaYisrael. Mloch Karencha, Shemen, V'lech Eshlachacha El Yishai Beit Lachmi, Ki Ra'iti Bevanav Li Melech. So fill up your Karen, your horn, and that to the discerning ear will remind us of something we've learned before, which I'll tell you in a second. So fill up your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Yishai in Beit Lechem, Yishai Beit Lechem, because I've seen among his sons for me a king. So does anybody know what the significance of the horn filled with oil is?
Anointment.
Right, anointment. And so Chana, in her davening about, in her prayer of thanksgiving for Shmuel, that we say the first day of Rosh Hashanah as the Haftorah, and we see this prayer of thanksgiving as this prophetic prayer. She talks about a pach and a keren, and the Targum interprets that as that he would anoint two kings, Shaul and David, but the keren, a pach, is like a clay thing that can break, and a keren is more permanent. So Shaul was anointed with the pach, and David with the keren, which would be more permanent. And then there were other examples in the Gemara of another king, I feel like it was Yehu, but I could be wrong, anointed with a pach, whose line also didn't last, but David's is going to last forever. So this is the fulfillment of that prophecy by Chana, that Shmuel would anoint two people. So there's a couple other textual things just that we're not going to focus on, but I just want to point out, and Rabbi Bachrach points them out. So one is, it's kind of this amorphous direction. It's not really clear. Don't really know where we're going. It's one of the sons. So this is marks like a juncture of important things that we see in other times, like Lech Lecha, when Hashem tells Avram to go into El Ha'aretz Asher Eka, to the land that I will show you. And the same thing with the Akedat Yitzchak. You'll know where it is that you'll see. I'm not telling you where to go. And then also Li Melech, for me a king. So it's very interesting. It's not for the nation. This is for God. And we see this Li in different places when it comes to Kohanim, when it comes to different leadership positions, when Hashem puts a Li into it. So it gives it more of a, I don't know, permanence, divine, a stamp of approval. So Pasuk Bet. Vayomer Shmuel, Echelech v'shama Shaul v'harageni. And then we have an unusual sighting where everyone sees the letter Samach there. So there's an actual paragraph break in the middle of a Pasuk. You'll see white space if it were written in an actual scroll. So Shmuel says, how will I go? And Shaul will hear and he will kill me. So this is really unusual behavior of Shmuel. Rabbi Chanoch Waxman of the Gush, who I listened to his share, said, was pointing out that this is actually more Shaul-like than Shmuel-like, to be afraid of what the people will say. You know, here he's afraid of what Shaul will do if he finds out that he's going to anoint another king under him. So that was an interesting thing you point out. It also reminded me of Moshe Rabbeinu at some point. When there's no water, he says to Hashem, they're going to stone me, they're going to kill me. And Hashem actually gets upset, like, no, take out, go with the elders, go out and you're going to hit the rock and it's all going to be okay, and don't talk about my people that way, sort of. So there's, it'd be interesting to review sort of where leaders are worried that they're going to be killed by their people. Okay, so Hashem responds, Vayomer Hashem, Eglat bakar tikach v'yadecha ve'amarta lizboach l'Hashem bati. So Hashem says to Shmuel, take this calf in your hand, and you will say that you're going to sacrifice, that you're going to come to sacrifice to Hashem. So,
Given that Hashem gives that response, it seems to imply that it wasn't paranoid for Saul to feel
right.
That way.
Right. It's bizarre that Hashem is sort of participating in the ruse, almost.
Or maybe it's reasonable.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. And then Rabbi Waxman points out that this, of course, is also reminiscent of the language of taking, and this is also Rabbi Bazak who points this out. It might be Rabbi Bazak. Of Akedat Yitzchak, of taking in your hand and different things in a korban, of course. So yeah, so it's very strange.
It's also compassionate.
Yeah.
It's compassionate to Shmuel to acknowledge that he is still mourning the loss of Shaul, and
yeah,
that he's feeling very sorry and guilty kind of about it.
That's true. Excellent. Yeah. And I want you also to point out the difference in attitude of Shmuel in anointing Shaul versus anointing David. Like, he really doesn't have the same enthusiasm that he had in anointing Shaul. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Vekarata liyishai bizavach v'anochi odiacha et asher ta'aseh umashachta li et asher omar alecha. Okay, so this you really hear et asher omer alecha. You really hear the lech lecha and the kachna et bincha, the with Avram, the comparisons with Avram. So you will call to Yishai to the sacrificial feast, and I will let you know what you will do, and you will anoint for me the one who I will say to you to anoint. Okay, so these amorphous instructions, which reminds us of those other junctures in Jewish history, important junctures. Okay, so Dalid vayashmol d'asher diber Hashem. So Shmuel did what Hashem told him to. Vayavo Beit Lechem, and he came to Beit Lechem. Vayacherdu ziknei ha'ir. The elders of the city are trembling. Likrato, to greet him. Vayomer shalom bo'echa. And I saw, I think it was Rabba Zak, it was interesting that you could say that the elder said, peace on your coming. But here you see in the translation also here that it's a question. They don't know why Shmuel is coming here. Is there something amiss? And this, I think, will be explained through this crazy, crazy midrash that we're going to talk about. Why would they be nervous and what's going on and, you know, what brings him coming? It's especially odd that they're nervous because everything we've heard about Shmuel up until now is how he traveled all around the country. So he should be a familiar face everywhere where he was. So it is odd to think that they were trembling and that they asked, did you come in peace? Okay. Hey, Vayomer Shalom. And he said, I've come peaceably. Lizboach Lashem Bati. I've come to make a sacrifice to God, to make a feast. Hitkadshu v'batam iti v'zavach v'kadesh et Yishai v'et banav v'kra lehem l'zavach. Sorry. So he said, I come in peace and I've come to sacrifice to God. Prepare yourselves and come with me for this feast, and prepare Yishai and his sons. And he called to them to the feast. Sorry, and he prepared Yishai and his sons, and he called them to the feast. Okay, we're actually not doing a lot of commentary here because we're getting up to David. So, Vav, Vehi Bevoam, And it was when they came, Vayar et Eliav. And he sees Eliav, who is his oldest son. Vayomer ach neged Hashem mishicho. And Shmuel says, this must be the one that I'm meant to anoint. And look what happens. Zayin, Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel. Hashem says to Shmuel, Al tabit el marehu ve'el govoha komato ki mastihu. Ki lo asher yir'eh adam ki adam yir'eh le'enayim v'Hashem yir'eh l'levav. So Hashem chastises him for making such an assumption, which is interesting because what do we remember about the way Shaul looked?
He was the tallest man.
Right, he was tall and good-looking. And here's a tall, good-looking man. So why not? Why not make that assumption? So this is just a real lesson for Shmuel and for us as the Jewish people in terms of how to choose a leader, because Shaul's leadership didn't last, especially in this election year. Okay, so... Hashem says to Shmuel, don't look at his appearance or his height, because I am sick of him. I've rejected him. And we're going to find out in the next parak his true colors and his true personality, because he's really nasty to David. Because it's not how a man looks, it is not as man sees what is visible to the eyes, it's that Hashem sees into the heart. So that's just a really nice, beautiful lesson. And Shmuel is duly chastised. We're going to see how that plays out the next time we have a break in the middle of a pasuk. So I don't know if we'll get to that today. Vayikra Yishai el Avinadav. So then he brings his second son, Avinadav, Yishai. Ve'avrehu lifnei Shmuel. And he passed him before Shmuel. Vayomer gam bazelo bachar Hashem. Also this one Hashem hasn't chosen. Vayaver Yishai Shama, so then his son Shama. Vayomer gam bazeh lo bachar Hashem. Also this one Hashem hasn't chosen. I mean, this is really playing out like a children's story, right? Like each one is taken forth. Vayaver Yishai Shivat Banav. Yishai brings out his seven sons, and I want you to remember that it says he had seven sons, so that would make David the eighth, right? Okay, so there are eight sons total. Just remember that, because we're going to kind of blow away some stereotypes of what we thought we knew about David.
It doesn't say that he has seven sons older than David. It just says he has seven.
Right, but it will say that David is the katan. So we're,
okay. It,
okay, so Banav lifnei Shmuel. So Yishai passes all seven of his eight sons before Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, and Shmuel said, Yishai lo bachar Hashem be'ela. Hashem has not chosen any of these. Yod Aleph, Vayomer Shmuel Yishai. Shmuel says to Yishai, Hatamu Hanarim. Is that the end of the children? Vayomer Od Sha'ar Hakatan. There remains one little one. Vihine Ro'eh Batzon. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai, Shelcha Vekechenu Kilo Nasov Ad Bo'po. Hey, do you mind sharing with Fran?
No.
Okay, so you've just missed... You've just missed Shmuel going to Beit Lechem, where God has said, you will anoint one of the sons of Yishai. And so far, seven of the sons have gone before him, and Shmuel has not been given any sign by God that any of those sons is the anointed one. Mm-hmm. And he says, do you have any more sons? And that's what we're up to. Yishai answers, there is one little son, and he is a shepherd. And Shmuel says to Yishai, send and take him. And for we shall not sit down until he comes here. Right? We won't lean, right? Until he comes here. We won't relax. Okay, so we are going to stop there for a moment and look at some commentary. Okay, so... Oh, the first... Right. So if you remember... There's a lot of re'iya. So if you go back to the first time he sees Eliav, so if you just look in that those two psukim, it says Vayar et Eliav, he sees Eliav in Pasuk Vav, and in Pasuk Zayin, Hashem chastises him, and he uses, you see Ra'ah, the shorash, three times. Asher yir'eh hadam, ki adam yir'eh le'enam, v'Hashem yir'eh l'le'vav. Zayin and Chet. Vav and Zayin. Okay? So we see Ra'ah repeated many times there. And when he sees Eliav, so Rashi there will remind us, so in Pasuk Zayin, Al Tabet Amar Ehu, so don't look at his appearance, El Yofi Taro, at his beauty. Ki Ma'astihu, because I'm sick of him, Lefisha Ka'asanhu, because he's an angry person. Kama Shana'amar Ve'ichar Af Eliav B'David, as we're going to see in the next parak, when David goes to the battlefield with Goliath, that Eliav becomes angry with him. Ki Lo Asher Yer'eh Adam, because it's not that which a man sees. Afal Pi Shekarata Le'atzmecha Ro'eh. Does anybody remember this? Even though you, Shmuel, called yourself the Ro'eh. She'amarta le'Sha'ul Anochi HaRo'eh. Now this was a very interesting thing that we talked about. When Sha'ul is searching for his donkeys, and his lad tells him there's a Ro'eh here, which is another word for prophet. We kind of discussed a little bit the difference between a Navi and a Ro'eh. And so he's looking for the Ro'eh. He says, where's the Ro'eh? And he sees Shmuel, and he says, do you know where the Ro'eh is? And Shmuel says, Ani HaRo'eh. And for whatever reason, and we have this with Moshe Rabbeinu also, this is taken as a Gaivadik statement, and it's here that Shmuel is put in his place for having said, in with this smidgen of Gaivadik that was not befitting for Shmuel HaNavi, I am the seer, and Hashem is chastising him. Now, you say you're the seer, you don't see anything. Okay? And that's this, I just included it in English since we had done it in Hebrew when we were at that pasuk. So just read it quickly. Similarly, it says, then Sha'ul drew near to Shmuel in the gate, and Shmuel answered Sha'ul and said, I am the seer. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to them, you are the seer? I will tell you that you do not see. When did he tell him this? When he said to him, fill your horn with oil and go, I will send you to Yishai the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me with a king among his sons. What does it say? And it came to pass when they were come, that he beheld Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, did you not say, I am the seer? Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. So just to remind you of when this happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's not in Parshat Yitro, I think it's in Devarim, when it's repeating when Yitro came and suggested how they break up into the different courts, the smaller courts and the larger courts, and Moshe said, and how the difficult questions you'll bring to me. And it's attributed then in Benot Slofchod, when the daughters of Slofchod come with their case and Moshe doesn't know the answer, that this is his payback. You think you know all the difficult answers? No, you don't know anything. You have to come to me and check it out. Okay, so we see this kind of chastisement of really important holy people when they have this, what we wouldn't consider gaivadik, but in terms of who they are, is inappropriate, and they have to be put in their place.
That's interesting what you said about Moshe, because he was actually very open to sharing his power there. I mean, yeah. Overall, I never took that as a...
Yeah, so he's chastised for that. Again, it's not, you know, we're not on that level to be chastised in that way. Mm. Halavai, we should be on that level. But okay, so that is that aspect. And now, on to David HaMelech himself. So the bottom source, I didn't include the English, sorry, is Seder Olam Rabba. Seder Olam Rabba is a midrashic work that Rashi uses a lot when he's trying to make chronologies clear and genealogies and how long things happen, basically timelines. When Rashi makes a timeline for us, it's basically from this midrash, Seder Olam Rabba, and it gives you a timeline for everything. It's also where we get, if you've ever researched this, all the confusion around the Persian kings and everything and how we might be 200 years off. Like, in academic circles, we say the destruction of the temple. The first temple was 586 BCE. And I think if you're learning in a more Beis Yaakov environment, you would learn 422 BCE instead of 586. So there's this weird discrepancy around the Persian kings and the counting the years. But anyway, we do hold by this to a certain extent. So remember, David was called the Katan, the little one. So we're going to sort of put aside two stereotypes that we have in our head of David. So here's Seder Olam Rabba on the early days of David. Ve'oto haperek nimshach David, and in the same chapter, David is anointed. Shana'amar v'yomer Hashem el Shmuel ad matay, and this is our first pasuk of the perek, that Hashem says to Shmuel, how long will you mourn for Shaul? Ve'achar kach v'ikach Shmuel at keren Hashemen, and afterwards, Shmuel takes the horn of the oil. Ve'hu haya Ben Kaf Tet Shanim. So how old was David at this time when he's anointed? He is 29 years old. Okay? I certainly had no clue. You know, we think of him as a little boy with a slingshot, right? Mm-hmm. But here, and you know, that also I think we're getting to know that slingshots were actually a weapon of choice for people at that time, and people were actually trained in it. So he's actually 29 years old at this time, according to this midrash. Okay. And
question.
Yeah.
Do you know why Shmuel had such a hard time letting go of Shaul and mourning so long? Like, it makes it, it emphasizes that, but like.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Okay.
We can't really figure it out. But for whatever reason, he really got attached to him as protege, you know? And like, he almost became like a son to him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't see a lot of the inside story about that. Like, the pshat isn't really telling us so much, right. But we just see the devastation afterwards at the situation. I don't know. Okay, so here's another little interesting tidbit that's going to lead us into our next section. Before we do that, I should have put this in a different order. This text is an image because I couldn't find anything that wasn't an image to give you the full text, so I organized the papers a little bit so that I wouldn't have a huge swath of white space. So I apologize for that. So if you look on page 4, so this is from Divrei Hayamim, the last book in the Tanakh, and it's talking about the line of Yehuda and Boaz. So this is Pasuk Tedvad, and it gets to Yishai, because we know that Yishai comes from Boaz. Otzam Hashishi, so Otzam is the sixth son. David Hashvi'i, and David is the seventh. Now remember what we said, that there are eight sons. And so David's not the youngest. That's another stereotype we have of David and Malkuth to sort of displace. So Rashi there says, Rashi there on Divrei Hayamim says, since David, this is, oh, because it doesn't mention the eighth son in Divrei Hayamim, it stops with David. So he says, this is written with the plain spelling with Yud, so the name David, if you're ever searching David HaMelech, like if you're doing a search in Tanakh of David, so in most places it's Dalet Vav Dalet, but in other places it's Dalet Vav Yud Dalet. So if you wanted to find all the places that David's mentioned, you'd have to do both searches. So he's commenting on the fact that the Yud is here because of David's honor, and now he found the pearl, therefore he did not count the eighth son, and his name is Elihu. This is Eliyahu, but I think it's Elihu. It might be Eliyahu. Okay, and the Radak there says, sorry, I don't have the English for you. David Hashvi'i, sorry. Katav Rabbeinu Yonah, Kihu Kmo Hashmini, Shaharei Shiv'a Banav Hayulo Milvad David. So he says, he's like the eighth son. He's like the youngest because, as we saw, the seven sons were more accepted into the family than David. As it says in Sefer Shmuel, Vayavor Yishai Shivat Banav Lifnei Shmuel. And he passed the seven sons before Shmuel. Ve'achrei ken amar lo hatamu an arim. And afterwards Shmuel said to him, have all the boys finished? Ve'amar od sha'ar hakan, katan. And he said, remains, the little one remains. Ve'od ketiv ve'lo shmona banim. And it also says, and he had eight sons. Hine ki shmona banim hayalo, ve'david haya hashmini. He had eight sons and David was the eighth. Imkein David hashvi'i, ratzon lomar hashmini. So that's very confusing, something about the seventh versus the eighth. So let's keep going. V'lo yitachein zeh ha-hafech, aval nachon she'ya li'ishai ben mi'isha acher. So here's another explanation that Radak is saying, is that no, actually this eighth son was from a different woman. So David was the youngest from this woman. V'sefer Shmuel manavatam kulam bichlal, but in Sefer Shmuel it counts them all together. She'amar shivat banav, it says his seven sons. Ve'amar od sha'ar katan, it says, and also this little one. Okay.
So in that explanation, it was the youngest from the first one.
There were eight sons. Yishai had eight sons, but that eighth, that David was the youngest from one woman.
Right.
And then he quotes Chacham Rabbeinu Avram ben Ezra, so the Ibn Ezra. So that was Ibn Ezra also. Sheyu Me'im Echad, that there were seven from one mother, and that was Ibn Ezra. V'yesham Reim, and there are those who say Ki Meita ben Echad, that no, the last son died. Elihu or Eliyahu actually died, so he doesn't count anymore. Uba Midrash, and there's a Midrash that said Ki Haben Hashmini Hayashmo Elihu. Midrash says his eighth son was named Elihu. V'hu Haniskar Benigidim She. I don't know what that means. David Li Yehuda Elihu Ma'ache David V'hu Haya Katan Mi David Uma Shamar V'David Hu Akatan Al Sheya Maktin Atzmo Karu Katan. So what does it mean when it says David was the youngest one? It means that he belittled himself, that he had humility and he belittled himself. It doesn't mean that he was the youngest. Okay, so I just wanted to introduce you to this whole discussion on where David was in the birth order. And
David belittled himself.
Yeah, meaning he made himself little.
Is that humility?
Yeah, exactly. Humility. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay.
That would be not an obvious usage of the word.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's troubling, and that's why the Radak brings these three or four different explanations.
I thought it just said in Shmuel that Yishai brought out seven sons.
And then there's, but none of them were chosen. So he says.
Right, but now you're saying the seventh, the last son, the eighth, was not shown.
No, so he was, and then I read in this book that he died without children. So that might mean what it means, like later on in Divrei Hayamim, I don't know. It's just very confusing. So he's 29 years old, he's not this little teenager, and he's also not the youngest in the line of Yishai, are basically the two things that we're establishing. Sorry if it was confusing. Okay, so now, who is David's mother? So we actually have a name, which is so awesome. Okay, so, and I included the bulk of the Midrash, it's just the two lines on the top of page 3, because we learn a lot of mothers' names, which is really cool. So, V'amarav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav. Imehad Avram, did you know Avram's mother had a name? Talai bat Karnavo. So that is Avram's mother's name, okay? There's a very bizarre Hasidic Kabbalistic thing that says that she was reincarnated as Dina. Okay? So Talai. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. And then it also says, and this is good for this week, that the mother of Haman is Talai but Orbati. They had the same name, first name, their mothers, but different fathers. I mean, the mothers had different fathers, different grandfathers. And you can learn from, and then it has a whole sign to remember whose mother was whose mother, Tame, Tame, Tahar, Tahar. I don't know. Okay. Ameh de David, and then the mother of David, Nitzavet bat Adael Shma. Okay, so David's mother is named Nitzavet, which is a beautiful name. More girls should be named Nitzavet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then it also includes the mother of Shimshon. If you remember the story, it's in Shoftim, the early Shoftim, and she's just called Eshet Manoach, the wife of Manoach. If you remember that story, yeah. An angel comes to her. So her name is Tzlelponit, or I've seen it other places, that's Hatzlelponit. She's awesome. I have a source somewhere, I forgot where it is, that she was like the ancient superwoman, Hatzlelponit. She raised her son, she sold her wares in the shuk, and she elucidated Torah to all. So she was the woman who had it all. Okay, so that is Shimshon's mother. Okay, so here is David Hamel's mother, Nitzavet. And there is a great article on Chabad by Chana Weisberg, and I included the link here. You could just search Google Nitzavet, mother of David, and this would come up on Chabad.org. Okay, so now we have this next source, which is crazy. And it's funny.
Who she was?
Like, where she came from?
I mean, anything about her other than I know.
We're going to do this crazy source. We're going to learn a little bit more about her. So, in this book, this source is only a footnote, and it says I forgot where it is, but it says, for a more harsher view of David's birth, look in this source, but he doesn't even include the source. Nobody knows, as far as I can tell, what this source is. It's called Yalkut HaMichri or HaMichri. I don't know how I was able to find it, the Hebrew. And we're going to read through it together. It's crazy. So some of the questions that it's coming to answer, though, is we're going to have to look on page 4 to, just as a prelude, to figure out why it would even come up. So David's a shepherd, right? And if you do Ushpizin on Sukkot, you know about the 7 shepherds, right? And we tend to think of shepherds as good guys. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, they were all shepherds. Why isn't it good for David to be a shepherd? Like, why would we even question his role as a shepherd, right? So look, so this is, I found, it's funny, I was researching online, and I started reading this, I'm like, that's funny, that sounds, in English, I found, and I said, that sounds a lot like what I'm reading in this book, I wonder why they don't attribute him. And then I looked at the top, and it was indeed a translation of everything I had just read. So that's where it says in the top, the anointment of David Yehoshua Bachrach, so that's this book. So he says, shepherding had been favorably regarded in the days of the patriarchs, but now that the land had been settled, it was considered a despicable occupation because of the 10 conditions imposed by Yehoshua and his court when he apportioned the land among the tribes. One may not raise goats and sheep in Eretz Yisrael, but one may raise them in Syria in the wilderness of Eretz Yisrael. And this is in the Gemara, and this is in the Mishnah Torah. I remember reading this when I was reading through the Mishnah Torah and thinking that's a very odd halacha. You can't be a shepherd in Eretz Yisrael, right? It's so strange. So again, in the Gemara, shepherds of goats and sheep in East Eretz Yisrael are disqualified as witnesses. It's crazy. So you can imagine, hopefully you can't imagine, why they might be disqualified and, you know, what they might think, because shepherds spend a lot of time in solitude alone with animals. So they were settling the land. There was no need for this. They felt it was a despicable job. And here is David HaMelech post Yehoshua as a shepherd. It puts it in a completely different light. And you see that the shepherd is abhorrent at this time. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu being a shepherd. It's not like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's very interesting. You go all the way back to Cain and Hevel in terms of the first shepherd and farmer. So Rabbi Bachrach continues, apparently there was some reason in Yishai's household for which they subordinated David and sent him away to be a shepherd in the distant wilderness, estranged and separated from his brothers. And he quotes from a pasuk from Tehillim, I am estranged to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. He was despised by his father because as a child he would predict, I am destined to destroy the Plishti localities and to kill a great man from among them named Goliath, and I am destined to build the Beit HaMikdash. What did his father do? He left him to tend sheep. Now, who does this remind us of course? A dreamer. Yosef, right? And his brothers hating him because of his dreams. So we're sort of contextualizing him in this world of shepherds and dreamers, but he's not, his father doesn't trust in him in the same way that Yaakov, according to the commentaries, trusted in Yosef. And certainly being a shepherd here is despicable. So what's the backstory? So here's the backstory in this crazy, crazy pasuk.
Can I just ask the English and just read where's that from?
Oh, so that is from this book. It says it on the top. Do you see where it says in bold the anointment of David? Oh yeah, it was on there, sorry. Okay. And if you want, so some of those sources that are in on the bottom of page 5, again because of the formatting with this picture. Okay, so let's read through this, and that's probably all we'll have time for today. So this is this Yalkut HaMichri, whatever it is. This is the section on Tehillim. And he's taking from Hallel, Evan Masu Habonim Haitala Rosh Pina. So we say this in Hallel, and it is a beautiful line. I really like it. So what it means is, Evan, the stone, Ma'asu Habonim. So again, we've seen this word repeated, Ma'asu, Mem Alasamach, this that I keep saying are sick of or rejected. So the stone that the Bonim, the builders, rejected, Evan, Ma'asu Habonim, the stone that the builders rejected, Haita became Larosh Pina, became the cornerstone. It became the most important stone. So it's a metaphor for David HaMelech. He was the one that was rejected and he became the king.
Isn't it a metaphor for Bnei Israel?
It could also be, but here we're going to see it specifically for David HaMelech. Is everyone okay with the background noise?
It's not great, but we're here.
Yeah. Okay, is their door closed? Do you want?
Probably not, but I don't think I would be closed.
I don't
mind.
Sharon's in there, so
I think it was closed when I came in.
Okay. I apologize. Okay. So, let's read this together. So, Evan Masu Aboinim, Haital Rosh Pina. And we're going to go through, it's actually a beautiful midrash, the last source, maybe we won't get to it until next week. We don't have next week because of Purim. Okay, so in 2 weeks we'll continue. So, midrash. So we're going to start actually not on that first line. We're going to start on the third line. Oh no, the second line. Chad Amar David Ben Ahuva Haya. Do you guys, can you see it a little? Oh, sorry, we're on this one, yeah. This picture. So where it says Kaf Chet Evan. Oh, and yours is in color. So the first, so the second line, you'll see, I'm going to get to the first Haya that's highlighted. So Chad Amar David Ben Ahuva Haya. So one of the rabbis says that David was the son of a beloved wife. V'chad Amar David Ben Snu'a Haya. And the other one says David was the son of a hated wife. This also sounds familiar in terms of Shmuel and his father having two wives, Chana and Penina. Ketzad, how is this so? How could he be the son of a hated, of what is it, a beloved or hated? Yishai Rosh LeSanhedrin Haya. So Yishai, David's father, was the head of the Sanhedrin. V'lo haya yotze v'nichnas, ele be'ochlusa v'shishim rabo. So he, anytime he would go anywhere, it seems like he'd have a, what's the word of a group of people that follow another person around?
Entourage.
Entourage, thank you. He would have an entourage of 60,000 people. Okay, so he was very important. He always had an entourage. Behayulo shishim banim gedolim. And he had 60 big sons, and I don't know what that's referring to. Uperesh miishto gimel shanim. He separated from his wife for 3 years. Le'achar gimel shanim, haitalo shifcha na'a v'nitzavala. After 3 years, he had a maid that he was attracted to. The language here is really kind of crass at times, so I apologize for that, and it's with a little trepidation that I'm reading this to you. Amarle, he said to her, Biti, tikni asmech halayla. My daughter, prepare, she said to this maidservant, prepare yourself for tonight, Kadesha tikansi elai beget shikrur, so that you can come to me with this type of get. So this type of decree of divorce, it's a technical halachic thing that means that it's...
She was married.
No, she's a handmaid, and he's sort of marrying her. But it's a conditional marriage that where they could, meaning the way I read it in a different explanation on actually the Chabad.org thing, I think I read it there, was that he's, the background story here is he comes from Boaz and Ruth, right? He's direct lineage from Boaz and Ruth. And the halacha hadn't been firmly established yet, what we all take for granted, that when it says in the Torah, you cannot marry among the Moabites, we know that that means a Jewish woman cannot marry a Moabite man. But at this time, it's still being hotly debated. What does it mean? And what does it mean for Yishai and his family that they come from this line that could be pagum, that could be blemished, having come from Rut the Moabite? So he doesn't know, and if and in terms of the marrying a Moabite, it's forever. So there's like the entire line. So generations later, you would still be mamzerim. Okay? It would so he doesn't know if he's, this is being hotly debated, he doesn't know if his family is kosher. If they're all mamzerim. So that explains also why he would have been separated from his wife. So, but there's a way around it for his children. If he marries, if he has a child with a shifcha knanit, a knanite maidservant, and they have a child, and then he releases that knanite maidservant and her child, they, it would then be a kosher child somehow. Again, I'm not completely clear on the halacha, but it's very technical. Okay? So he...
Why would he even... I mean...
Because he wants a kosher child.
No, if I don't mean that, but why... The issue was for marrying. I mean, why would he be able to marry a wife and not be with her? That's... It doesn't make sense.
Because he couldn't continue having mamzerim if he were to continue.
But I understand he won't be allowed to have children, but why would he even be allowed to get married to him in the first place? I mean, it's
why. Right, so because it's being hotly contested and it's become controversial again. So when he first married her, it wasn't controversial?
I see, wasn't
is that why David was chosen? Because he was not the controversy? There was no controversy over
no, he doesn't. You're going to see. Okay. No, there's a lot of controversy.
Okay. But it's different than his siblings. His brothers, it's a different...
But it's the same.
Okay, fine.
You'll see. Okay. So he tells her, to this maidservant, take this get shichur, meaning it's going to be conditional whether or not he finds out that he's kosher or he's not kosher. Either way, somehow with this get shichur, this get of release, this child would be able to be kosher. Hacha shivcha v'amra l'gvirta. This shivcha went and told her mistress. Who's her mistress? Nitzavet. Yishai's wife. Okay? They're not officially divorced. They're just separated. Hetzili atzmach v'nafshi. Save yourself and my soul, v'adoni, and my master, mi Gehenim. From Gehenim. Amar le matam. So, sorry, amra la. She said to her, what's the reason? Sachala et akol. She told her everything. Amar amra la. Usually when you see Aleph Lamed, it's Amar Le, he said to him, but here it's she said to her. So, Amar La, Biti ma'aseh shayom gimel shanim lo nagabi. So, Nitzavet, it doesn't say Nitzavet in this midrash, but we know her name is Nitzavet, says, what shall I do? It's been 3 years since he's even touched me. Amar La, eten lech etza. So the shifcha says to Nitzavet, I'll give you some advice. Lechi tekini atzmecha, you also go and prepare yourself, and I also will prepare myself. Ula erev, and in the evening, kishe yomar sagru hadalet, when he says, close the door, tikansi at ve'itse ani. You come in, and I'll go out. Okay? Does this remind anybody of everything?
Yeah,
Rachel Leah. Okay. Vikach asta, and thus she did. La erev amda hashivcha. So that night, the shifcha stood up, v'chavat et aner, and she extinguished the candle, ba'al yiskor hadalet, she went to close the door, nichnasa gvirta v'yatzahi, Nitzavet came in, and she went out. Asta imo kol alayla, v'nita bram et David, and she became pregnant with David that night. Umitoch avato al ota shifcha, now this is very weird, and from Yishai's love of that handmaid, Yatsa David Adom mi ben Achiv. David came out ruddy, right? We describe him as ruddy, like Adom, which also reminds us of Esav a little bit, which is interesting, from among his brothers. Mikan amru chachamim. This is really weird. From here, the chachamim say to us, Tzarich Adam lekashet atzmo. A man needs to decorate himself. Vila amod keneged ishto, and to stand in front of his wife, b'sha'a shehi ola mibeit ha'tzvila, when at the time that she gets out of the mikvah. So if a man prepares himself and looks good when his wife gets out of the mikvah, then they'll have beautiful children. Okay, there's actually a midrash of a beautiful rabbi who would stand outside the mikvah so that women would see him. Yeah. Okay.
This is really supposed to be beautiful.
Well, we say it's actually not clear, but it does say he has beautiful eyes, so there is some sort of beauty to David.
That dumb dumb or whatever is that? Is that
yeah, I don't know. It's controversial. It's mixed. Yeah, we'll see. It's mixed. L'tishah chadashim for 9 months. Bakshu baneha leharga ve'et bana David. So for 9 months, the other seven children, or I guess six at this point, depending how you count, wanted to kill her and to kill her son David, because she was pregnant, and Yishai doesn't know that it was her. He still doesn't know that it was her. He thinks it was the handmaid. Okay?
Why did they want to kill...
Because they think the mother was... in
prostitute.
Yeah, a prostitute. Like, and who does this remind us of?
Tamar.
Yes, yeah. Tamar. Okay, so you were pulling in all the matriarchs from everywhere into this story. Kevan Shera'u Shehu Edom, and since they saw that he was red. Amar Lehem Yishai. Yishai told them, Henichu lo, let him go, V'yalanu Meshuabad V'ratzon. And he'll be a servant to us and a shepherd. Okay, so now we kind of understand why he's relegated there. V'haya hadavar tamun ad kaf chet shana. And this thing is hidden. Nobody knows. Nitzavet is suffering. David is suffering for 28 years. Remember how old David is? He's 29 years old when he comes out. Kevan she'amar le'akadosh baruch hu le'shmuel, when Hashem says to Shmuel, Lech eshochacha al beit Yishai halachmi, go to the house of Yishai in Beit Lechem. That's when it finally comes out. Kevan she'alach hekrivu lo et Eliav, and when Shmuel went, they brought before him Eliav. Kevan she'ra'ohu, and when he saw him, Amar ach neged Hashem Mashicha, this must be Hashem's anointed one. Amar kadosh baruch hu, and God said to him, Al tebet amar ahu, don't look at his appearance. Hekriv habet vehagimel ad shivat banav, they brought all the sons before Shmuel. Amar li Shmuel li Yishai hatamu anarim, Shmuel said, Yishai, is this all the sons you have? Amar li tamu, and he said, yeah, that's it. Amar li kadosh baruch hu, God said, Amar li lecha v'eshalcha el Yishai v'ata omer tamu, but God, Shmuel says to him, God said, go to Yishai, and you're telling me this is all the sons? God said, it's coming from you. Amar le od mishar katan v'hu ro'eh batzon. There is one boy, but he's the shepherd. Amar le shlach v'havyuhu. So he said to him, go and get him. Kevan Shabbat, when he came, he tchil hashemen mevatzveitz v'oleh. The oil in the horn started coming up of its own accord. Amar le kadosh baruch hu l'shmuel, Hashem said to Shmuel, Shmuel, ata omed umeshichi, stand up and anoint him. Omed kum meshachehu kizehu. This is the one that you need to anoint. Pina Hashemen al rosho. The oil went down onto his head. V'nikrash ba'avanim tovot maragliot. And as it came down upon his head, it turned into precious stones and pearls.
Is this the midrash?
Yeah, I mean, this is this crazy midrash, and again, I don't know when it was written, I don't know who wrote it, but it's quoted in a lot of different places, including this book by Rabbi Bachrach, so it's known, it's not, I don't know, but Chazar HaKaren Malei Kishem Shaya, and not only that, but the horn appeared as if it hadn't lost any oil, it remained full. So we have all these miracles surrounding his anointment. Does this remind anybody of anything? That it comes of its, the oil comes of its own accord?
Hanukkah
could be, but also when Rivka is watering the camels, right, for Eliezer, the water comes of its own accord.
It's also
reminded me of something called Kos Eliyahu. Okay, all sorts of references here. V'haya yored al pi midotav. And it went according to his character attributes of David. V'Yishai ubanav hayu omdim beratat ve'ema. So Yishai and his sons are now freaking out. Lo ba Shmuel ele lefizotenu. And they say, Shmuel, you only came to make fun of us. Uleharia liYisrael sheyesh lo ben pasul. And to cry out to Israel that we have this disqualified son. V'imo shel David samcha she bifnim ve'atzva mibachutz. And the mother of David, she was happy inside, but she was sad on the outside. Kevan shenatal kos yeshua samchu kulan. But then they were able to celebrate. They took the cup of salvation, and everyone was happy. Amad Shmuel v'nashko al rosho. Shmuel stood up and he kissed his head. Patach ve'amar, and he opened and he said, Hashem amar le b'niyata. So Hashem, you are my son. God says, you're my son. Beotasha ah amra imo. And at that very moment, his mother said, Evan masu abonim habanim kativ. So his mother then says, "This the it says it looks like the builders who are rejected, but it's written Bonim is written without a vav, so it's the sons that were rejected. The sons rejected this stone. Amra e ben. So they're taking the word Evan, which means stone, and turning it into e ven. If there was a son, Shema asu otcha achacha, that his brothers rejected him, v'hayta l'rosh pina, and he ends up being the cornerstone. V'alita al kulan, and he was greater than all of them. Amra le b'neha, then her sons say, Me'et Hashem haytazot. Sound familiar? It's a continuation of the same parak of Tehillim. This thing is from God. Lefichach, and therefore, Zeh hayom asa Hashem, nagila v'nismecha bo. And therefore, this is the day that Hashem has made. Let us rejoice and be happy in it. Okay? So then, in 2 weeks, we're going to go more into this parak in Hallel. And we'll understand it on a deeper level, this dialogue back and forth between David and Shmuel and Yishai and the brothers. But that is the background story of Nitzavet, the mother of David. So thanks, guys.